Chapter 10. Jason smiled and gave Danny a soft kiss, running his fingers through his hair as he looked down at his boyfriend. He let out a soft purr, which Danny copied, pressing himself closer to Jason, throwing his leg around Jason's waist as he clung to the crime lord like a koala. "I have to leave for patrols," he groaned, feeling Danny's bare leg wrap around his own bare waist. He had convinced Danny to close Phantom's Oasis early and dragged him upstairs to his apartment on the second floor of the building that housed the coffee shop and thrown him onto the bed without much preamble. But fun times were over, and Jason unfortunately had patrols. He was investigating a case and had to go and follow a few of the goons working for the drug boss to see where the base of operations was. He had gotten a tip just that morning, and he needed to follow up on it that night. But he couldn't do that when Danny was clinging to him the way he was. Jason just wasn't strong enough to fight him off. Not that he particularly wanted to when Danny was sleepily grinding against his leg the way he was. "Stay," he whined, burying his face in Jason's chest. "Call one of your siblings." Purrs rumbled from Danny's core, and Jason shivered at the fangs that dug into his pack. He chuckled and carefully pushed the Haffa away from him. "I want to. I really do." He let out a huff and kissed the top of his boyfriend's head. "But I already told you, I have to follow those guys tonight." Danny let out a whine and pulled away from Jason's chest, giving him a woeful look. "I thought dating a crime lord would be more fun," he said with a pout. Jason narrowed his eyes and flicked his boyfriend's nose lightly. Danny snickered before he grabbed the front of Jason's shirt and yanked him down for a long kiss. "Be safe. Summon me if you need me, and most importantly, beat up the bad guys." Jason smiled and kissed Danny once again before he started to get ready for the night of patrols. Once he was dressed and ready, he pressed a kiss to his half-asleep boyfriend's head and slipped out of the apartment quietly through the fire escape. He traveled down to where he had stowed his bike and smiled up at the coffee shop and the apartment above it. He had been staying at Danny's house for nearly 2 weeks now. There was no real reason. All of his safe houses were secure. The only thing different was that Danny's home felt like a home. He felt safe and comfortable in Danny's house. The peaceful aura that was Danny's obsession had been imbued within the building itself, and it settled the pit rage. And yes, he knew that it wasn't pit rage that he felt, but he had gone so long calling it that the name was stuck with the feeling forever. Danny had worked hard to get it into Jason's head that the pit rage was a part of him, was the part of him that made him a revenant in the first place, that the rage was what kept him alive. He had asked Danny about that, too. If the rage he felt because of his status as a revenant was what kept him alive, what would happen to him if he ever did get revenge? Would he die once again and that would be the end of it? Would his soul be settled? Danny had explained to him that he would continue being a revenant, that the rage would always be there due to the fact that it was what had brought him back in the first place. But it would be dormant. He would live the rest of his life like he had been supposed to, and the rage that had powered him would consider it a part of him getting revenge, since Joker's goal had been to keep him from living a long and fulfilling life. Danny had told him that the only difference would just be that he would no longer feel as angry, and that the moment he killed Joker, it would feel like a wave of calm washed over his body. He had also warned Jason that the pit rage could always rear its head, that if someone made him angry enough, it would be set off. It just wouldn't be nearly as often, and it would take more to get him to react like that. His boyfriend had smiled at him and cupped his face when Jason had complained that he would never be rid of the pit rage, that he would be stuck with the curse for the rest of his life. Danny had simply let out a soft trill before he spoke. "The pit rage isn't a bad thing, Jason. It's not some big and evil thing meant to destroy your life. That rage is what got you back in the first place. The rage comes from a little boy who once believed that Robin was magic, who watched his life get ripped away from him. The rage is you, and that's not a bad thing. I think if you try hard enough and look into yourself, you'll see that the rage is just a little boy who's angry that he lost so much." Something had settled inside of Jason at that. There was something about Danny telling him that the rage was actually just a little boy who believed Robin was magic that struck a chord with him. Not only that, but it had made Jason feel an ache deep inside of him, an ache that came from the rage that he felt stir within him randomly. like it was finally being acknowledged for what it was. Just a hurt 15-year-old kid who had desperately wanted a mother to love him and for his father to save him in time. It had given him a better understanding of what the rage inside him really was. Not something to hate, but something to grieve for. It was like its own little ghost trapped within him, desperate for someone to avenge him. And Jason was going to do that. He was going to avenge the little boy who had lost everything he knew at the hands of a sadistic clown. Jason smiled and shook his head slightly as if to knock the thoughts out of his mind. He drove through the streets of Crime Alley until he got to the warehouse that his informant had told him about. He stowed the bike away carefully before grappling up to the roof and settling down in a crouch as he waited. An hour into his stakeout, he felt a presence approach and nearly startled. Danny had taught him to detect the presence of anyone with ectoplasm in their system. For Danny, it was a huff of cold air that escaped him. For Jason, it was like someone had blown a breath of air down the back of his neck. He glanced over to find Cass standing beside him quietly, in her black bat gear. He signed a simple hello that she responded with, the corners of her eyes crinkling to show her smile. "Not at safe houses," she signed to him, and Jason snorted and shook his head, the speaker in his helmet distorting the noise slightly. "Staying with boyfriend," he responded back to her, flicking his fingers into the correct positions in a quick, practiced fashion. Jason still used sign in his day-to-day life, but now that he existed in a small circle with Danny and the ghosts that frequented his boyfriend's establishment, he was spoiled to use his ghost speak. It was nothing like being able to speak with his mouth, but it was easy. Ghosts understood his emotions like they were words. And it was nice to be able to just speak with them so easily, for the ghosts, for Danny, to just understand what he was saying. "Still together?" she asked, a wide smile on her face. "Can I see him?" Jason just nodded and slipped his phone out, showing Cass his lock screen that featured a picture of Danny making a stupid face at him. His cheeks were hollowed out with his lips puckered up and eyes crossed to look down at his nose. He looked adorable. Cass looked at the picture and back at Jason. "Happy for you," she said softly. The Revenant grunted, nodding his head. "You can meet him in the morning." Cass was probably, without a doubt, his favorite sibling. She had given him space when he asked for it, had respected his wishes, and only came back to check if he was ready for her to be around again. And even once he was ready, she kept things on Jason's terms and respected his wishes. It had made it easy for Jason to let her worm her way into his life. She was subtle and kind, and she was always happy to just sit in silence with Jason and not say a word about anything. Cass signed thank you at Jason before asking for a hug. He rolled his eyes and leaned forward, allowing the woman to wrap her arms around his shoulders and hug him tight. Danny and Cass got on like dry grass and a lit match. It was the worst decision Jason had ever made. How had he not realized that these two would get along so well? They were both little gremlins who craved chaos. Danny liked to act like he was this kind, polite pillar of calmness, but that was all just a ruse. Jason had known Danny long enough to know that his boyfriend loved to cause chaos, loved to meddle in problems and just be a general nuisance whenever he could get away with it. And now, here he was, sharing embarrassing stories about Jason with Cass. Cass had accepted the fact that Danny understood Jason, no questions asked, and had even admitted that she slightly understood him, but not as clearly. Jason guessed that it was a mix of the fact that she had died and come back, as well as the fact that she had been trained her entire life to read people. Of course, if she could feel Jason's emotions, she would be able to interpret what they meant, combined with his body language. She was just talented like that. Jason groaned as Danny gleefully told Cass about the first time he took Jason flying and the way he had clung to him the entire time. Cass listened closely, a shit-eating grin on her face the entire time as she glanced over at Jason, mischief in her eyes. He was the biggest idiot in all of Gotham City. But also, it was nice. Jason smiled as he watched his boyfriend joyfully talk with Cass, his hands waving around in excitement as he told Jason's sister about one of his problem customers, which Danny's problem customers were rather tame compared to everywhere else. It had taken Jason a while to figure it out, but it had suddenly clicked. The reason Phantom's Oasis hadn't been broken into, robbed, destroyed, or anything of the sort wasn't just because of Danny's calming powers. It was because the people of Crime Alley had basically created a social contract with the coffee shop, even if none of them realized it. It was like they all knew that Phantom's Oasis was a good thing. It was a safe place where they got good coffee at a super affordable price, and just a break from living in Crime Alley. And, in return, they all protected the place as best as they could. No one broke out in fights, no one tried to rob the place. It was just a nice, calm place for everyone to relax and enjoy their time. It had Jason wondering if he could get more things like that set up in Crime Alley. He had ideas for young adults and teenagers to meet and hang out, but he hadn't thought of how they could do that. But maybe if they did some kind of community center, it could help. Set up some basketball courts, some soccer fields, maybe some places where people could just hang out and have fun. Maybe he could get Danny to help him set things up. He would have to hope that they would subscribe to the same social contract, but it was worth a shot. They had already inadvertently done it for Phantom's Oasis, so they could do it for a community center. Jason would have to bring it up to Danny once Cass left, but now the idea was spinning around in his head and he wanted to get it done. "Hey, handsome, what are you thinking about?" Danny asked, pausing his conversation with Cass to give him a small smile. Jason felt his heart melt at the look in Danny's eyes, the way the corners of his lips curled up just slightly in a small, content smile. Like he was happy to just be here, to just look at Jason and talk to him. His heart fluttered at the sight. He had never felt love like the love he felt from Danny, and every day he cherished that love just a little bit more. "Have some plans for Crime Alley," he grunted out in chirps and creaking metal, and then focused like Danny had taught him to, putting his thoughts together and just sending the image to Danny. It sounded like a roaring campfire, crackling and sizzling in the air, all of his passion and desire for the plan flooding out of him. The small smile on Danny's face grew into a large grin, and he let out a soft laugh. A community center? That would be fun. Cass gave the two a startled look. "What was that?" she breathed out, her eyes wide. "Jason is learning how ghosts communicate. We do that by sharing emotions and feelings, and sometimes we're able to even push all of that out to paint a picture for the person without saying a word. And Jason's getting better at sharing his mental images with people. You're liminal enough that you can catch on to the images when he puts all of his effort into it like that. It's really neat," Danny said, giving Jason a proud smile. "But I think a community center would be amazing, Jace. We can look into it tomorrow if you want." Jason nodded and pulled Danny into his lap, smiling at the excited giggles that came from his boyfriend as he hugged him tight and peppered Danny's face in soft kisses. He was so unbelievably lucky to have this amazing man. End of chapter 10.